the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 18th day of August 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And then, Mike Barwinski, a senior trader with Louis Dreyfus Commodities, will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. As we close out the half-hour program, Don Day of Day Weather will help us look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, I'll update you on the numbers released from yesterday's USDA crop production report. And we'll hear from the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Chip Flory and Roger Bernard should both join us during the program right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat at $4.70 and a half a bushel, a penny and a quarter lower. December at $4.98 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. The March soft red at $5.17 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. From Kansas City, where they trade the hard red, March contract at $5.30 and a half cents. Down a penny and a half. From the corn pit in Chicago, a quarter higher today. $3.14 and a half the settlement price for the September. December at $3.22 and a half, up 3/4. And the March corn at $3.36 and a quarter, 3/4 of a cent higher. May contract $3.45 and 3/4, up 3/4. July at $3.54 and a half, up 1 cent. Soy complex now, bean futures, $9.95 and a half, the lead option September, 7 and a half cents higher. November beans at $9.59, up 4 and a half. And January at 964 and a half, up 4 cents. March contract 967, up 4 and a half cents. The May futures in the bean pit at 967, up 7 and 1 quarter. July contract 10 and a half higher at $9.70 and 3 quarters. September soybean meal futures at 313.70, up $4.20. October at 287.60, up 2.10. September bean oil at 35.94, 7 cents higher. The October at 36.14, up 7. August live cattle futures, 84.95, 65 cents higher. The October up a buck 2 1/2 at 88.85. And the feeders finished the August contract at 101.15, up 47 1/2 cents. September at 101.25, up 85. October futures in the lean hog, 17 1/2 cents lower at $44.52 1/2. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby September crude oil futures, $69.19 a barrel, up $2.44. Ethanol at $1.55 and 2 cents, a penny higher on the day. And the natural gas at $3.10 and 7 cents, down 5 6/10 of a cent. RBOB gasoline, $1.99 and 4 cents, up 4 2/10. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $1.85 and 9 cents, 3 2 cents higher. At 2 tenths higher, that is. And propane futures at 88 and 4 tenths, up, or rather down, 1 1/2 cents. August gold futures at $937.70, up $3.40. And the Dow now at 9,222, just about 88 points higher on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 78.94 is down 0.35, and the CRB index for the day at 255.92 is currently trading the day 2.59 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in Illinois and Indiana, in the northern sections and the central part of Illinois, clear to partly cloudy. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy. A few scattered showers. Lows this evening from 55 in northwestern Illinois to 72 in the far southern part of the state. And then tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. They'll become more numerous during the afternoon. Highs will range tomorrow from 76 in northwestern Illinois to near 90 in the south. The extended forecast says scattered precip will focus more heavily on southern and central sections for the next few days before a return of mainly dry weather for the weekend. Most areas will have seen the topsoil recharged by rain that will fall along a cold front that's expected to work through Illinois and Indiana by Friday morning. More with Don Day on the agricultural weather forecast as we close out our half hour in just about 26 minutes.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. We always talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He's on the line with us today. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace. It looks like it was awfully quiet in Chicago today, and we did have a little up move.
Well, you know, one of the commentaries on the news wire today, the noon update was dead, dead, dead. You know, as we come in this morning, we saw the market had been up overnight and sold off as we come into the waning hours of the market this morning with the news that China would possibly be giving subsidies on their bean auction. And I think the word was possibly with that, and I think it's been talked about before that they'd do that. So that was sort of kicked out, and the negativeness of that went away. We've got, you know, some cold weather up in Canada, but we've got the tropical storms moving and keeping things warm down here. So the weather is sort of at a standstill. We're still worried about it. As we looked at the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, why we were told that you know, they needed some time yet for this crop to get finished out without some weather problems. So all of that sort of pounding against each other, that and their reports from north central Indiana that the pod counts are about half what they were last year, they'd give the beans a little pop there. Why, that's sort of, you know, what did actually happen here today, Todd. And I think that it is sort of a battle down in here, and wait till we get a little farther down the road to see what the weather is really going to be.
On the weather front, it appears that the rest of this week, cooler weather will be in for a large portion of the growing area across the Corn Belt, with highs that won't even make it above 80 degrees. Will Chicago stand up and take notice of that?
Well, they probably will, except for the part that after that we fall in with the warm patch that's going to do, you know, that's going to help mature things a little bit. But we would really like to see, you know, that 80 to 85 degree temperatures now to sort of be finishing out this crop that's running behind, and also, you know, to push things along a little bit. If we could get one or two more good rains across here, why, then we'd sort of like to see some heat and, you know, mature this crop and get it coming along here, because as late as this was planted, we could be harvesting some very wet corn later on, Todd.
Harvest wet corn, but at the media time, producers will have corn that they probably need to make some decisions upon. They might have it in the bin, in which case they may leave it there if it's in good shape, but that may be doubtful given last year's harvest. And on the other side, if they've got it in the elevator, it's quite likely they'll be forced to make a decision pretty soon. What do you think they ought to do?
Well, I mean, you know, we've said all along we really don't have any old crop corn left because of the size of the old crop carryover. We were probably more wrong than we thought in the respect that the basis stayed so good for so long here with this old crop corn. But we really don't see a lot of need to be carrying it here. If you've got plenty of room in your bin to hold what you're going to hold, that's fine and dandy. But all in all, why, if you have to make room for the new crop, why, it's way past time to have that moved out.
Anything that you would like them to do to protect upside potential in the marketplace after they make the sell, or just sell?
Well, you know, and I think we are down here closer, you know, close to the $3 level. And, you know, if they do want to buy a few calls for a time period here, is looking ahead, number one, for if there is some early frost. Number two, if they're feeling they'd like to do a storage hedge like that, why, I would probably look at buying an option rather than just the plain futures here right now, because we are in such a volatile weather market as we speak right now that we could see a violent swing that doesn't last for a long time.
And what are the other options that producers should be, in your mind, considering as they get ready for harvest, other than to bring the combine out? And they've got time at this point to do that, certainly here in this part of the world. What kinds of marketing things should they be thinking about?
Well, I think that, you know, hopefully we'll have one more little pop-up with the some sort of freeze scare somewhere along the line, because I think that the weather forecasts, as we well know, are varying enough, and our weather this year has been very touchy, iffy, or how should we say, irregular. And, you know, on that next pop-up, it looks like if we didn't do it on the last pop-up, it might be a chance to sell some beans. A in that respect, because I think that corn is going to be the commodity we would want to store rather than beans, just because of the price levels and where we're at. When we do make those bean sales, well, then it's going to be the consideration on a harvest dip, I think, as to re-own them with some options.
Wayne, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again next week.
All righty. Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear it again, you can always do it on our phone line. That number is 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We update it each and every business day with the numbers at 9:15 and at, or rather at 10:15 and at 3:15, and a bit of analysis, too. If you'd like to dial it up, 217-333-3434.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always check us out online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program, other agricultural programming, and a way to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's at willag.org. Look over on the right-hand side of the page. USDA yesterday released the latest crop production and weather reports. They show that corn silking nationwide has advanced 7 points during the week, leaving progress at 96% complete. 1 point behind last year, 2 points behind the rolling five-year average. Development most active in Michigan and the Dakotas, where 20% or more of the crop began silking during the week. Acreage in the dough stage at 40% nationwide, 6 points behind last year, 24 points behind the average. And some of the biggest delays there are evident throughout the Corn Belt, where Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota, four of the top five corn-producing states, were 27 points behind normal. Meanwhile, 9% of the nation's corn crop was at or beyond the dent stage, 3 points behind last year, 17 points behind the rolling five-year average. Overall, 68% of the corn crop rated in good to excellent condition. On the soybean side, acreage in blooming stage advanced to 93% by the week's end. That's on par with progress a year ago, but 3 points behind the five-year average. Blooming remained at or behind normal across the corn belt. Pod set evident in 72% of the bean crop by August the 16th. 1 point behind last year, 13 points behind normal. Overall, 66% of the soybean crop now rated in good to excellent condition, unchanged from last week, but 4 points better than last year. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their areas.
This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending August 16, 2009. Iowa again received beneficial moisture during the week as heat units continued to rise. However, the moisture came with isolated but severe crop damage in central Iowa. Many counties reported increased spraying for soybean aphids as threshold levels were surpassed, and fungicide treatments for gray leaf spot was also reported in some corn fields. Nearly all corn fields have tasseled, and 98% of the crop is silked, 4 percentage points ahead of last year. Corn at or beyond the milk stage reached 74%, 8 percentage points ahead of last year, but 5 days behind the five-year average. Corn reported at or beyond the dough stage reached 27%, 9 days behind the five-year average, while reports of corn at or beyond the denting stage was limited to just 3% statewide. Corn condition was rated 77% good to excellent, down 1 point from last week. Soybeans reached 98% blooming with 89% setting pods. Soybean development continues ahead of last year, but blooming and pod set are 1 and 2 percentage points behind the 5-year average respectively. Soybean condition was rated 77% good to excellent, the same as last week. This is Greg Tayson reporting from USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending August 16th. Temperatures averaging nearly 1 degree above normal were a welcome sight across Illinois, considering the delayed development of this year's crops. Rainfall was sparse. However, we did see some measurable accumulations towards the end of the week. Growing degree day units since May 1 are now at 2,101, trailing the historic average by 101 units. The corn crop finished the week at 96% silked, trailing the 99% average a year ago and 100% five-year average. 46% was reported in the dough stage, compared to 63% last year and 83% for the five-year average. 6% of the state's corn fields were reported in the dent stage, and this compares to 11% 1 year ago and 40% for the five-year average. Leading the state in the corn dough category was the Southeast Crop Reporting District at 75%. Overall, 62% of the corn crop was rated in good or excellent condition, down 1 percentage point from last week. Soybeans in the bloom stage were reported at 89%, compared to 92% 1 year ago and 97% for the five-year average. 58% of the state's acreage was reported setting pods, and this compares to 68% 1 year ago and 87% normally. Leading the state in podding activity was the Central Crop Reporting District at 86%. Statewide, 60% of the soybean crop was rated in good or excellent condition, unchanged from last week. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks to the statisticians who joined us this afternoon. We'll hear more about what they've been up to in the coming weeks. Time now to check in on what's been happening on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Roger Bernard is on the eastern part of the tour. Chip Flory is on the western part of the tour. Both are on the line with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, gentlemen.
Hey, good afternoon.
John, how are you?
Oh, hey, I've got a question for each of you. First, Roger, where are you? You should be pretty close to us here in Champaign-Urbana, I would think.
You bet. We are just not too far out of Kankakee, Illinois right now.
Excellent. And where are you, Chip?
Right now I'm in Beatrice, Nebraska, just making our way up to Nebraska City.
Let's start off with you. I've been following the tweets throughout the day. You say that the corn looks awfully good across Nebraska, I think, and then you said you could see Kansas from where you were, and even the dry land crop looked good there. Tell me about it, please.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is the second year in a row for this part down in southeast Nebraska to have a good dry land crop, Todd, and that, it's just amazing. It's not unusual to find 50, 60 bushel corn down in this part of the world, and we're seeing a lot of 130, 135, even 40. Even a little bit better than that in a couple of cases, really good yield potential. The maturity on the corn crop down here, nothing to worry about. We've got a lot of corn that's in the dense stage. Soybeans are also in really good shape. We are starting to get dry as we make our way over to the Missouri River. Drought stress is showing up for the first time in some of the soybeans. We have seen some cornfields that are burned up a little bit. You know, they're fired up, but this crop made good yield before it got too dry. So it's just amazing to see 2 years in a row down here in southeast Nebraska that are making good dry land corn.
And then before we talk to Roger, can you recap what you found yesterday in South Dakota?
You bet. Up in South Dakota, we came in about a half a bushel under where we were a year ago. That was a bit of a surprise to most of the scouts on the tour. USDA on August 1 had us up 6% from a year ago, on the back of a record ear count. Well, when we got done, our ear count was actually down 1.5%. Doesn't sound like a lot, but that has a big impact on your final yield. Can South Dakota do 140 bushel corn? It might be able to do it, but it's got to really hustle. It's got to really hustle if it's going to get to maturity before that first frost kicks in.
Roger, if you could take us through what you found in Ohio, and then you've wrapped up Indiana or had a good idea of it, although you'll get those numbers tonight out. What'd you find in those two states?
Well, in the Buckeye State this year, our corn yield was up about, was up decent from last year, 159 bushels per acre, just a little bit above that, up 7.4% from a year ago. And the big thing we can tie that to is the number of ears that we found out there in those fields, up 5.5% from a year ago. So really a nice improvement on the ear counts out there. Now the key for that Ohio crop is going to be on the corn of trying to maintain the yield potential that we found out there. And that could be a challenge because some portions of that state are very dry right now. Now there has been some showers, I think, hopefully rolling through there for these guys, but it's going to take a lot probably to maintain what they've got out there. Our bean pod counts up again from a year ago, just about 15%, so a big jump up in those bean pods out there in that 3 foot by 3 foot square in the Buckeye State. Again, moisture is going to be the key for getting that bean crop home in the Buckeye State. As we moved on into Indiana yesterday, sampling the eastern part of the state, you know, dryness and things like that know no boundaries. So we were still seeing some of those impacts as we moved into the Hoosier State. Now, as we've gone out of Indianapolis today, we headed north and then directly west, we had some muddy boots this morning because there were some pretty hefty showers that rolled through overnight, a very welcome site for a lot of those bean fields. Corn fields, it might be just a bit late to really help them out a whole lot. We've been seeing some variability on both sides in terms of the corn and bean fields, strengthening on that Indiana crop as we moved closer and closer to Illinois. So numbers coming up as we headed our way out of Indiana here into Illinois.
And then if you could, Bolton, maybe Chip, you can start off with this, because I think I read a tweet from you earlier today about gray leaf spot. There is some there. And then I think you also ran into some, and this has been talked about a lot in the news, ran into some hail damage, but it was isolated.
Yeah. Good friend of mine from Minnesota, Lawrence, called and said, Chip, we've been in wind-blown corn, and we've been in hail-damaged corn all day. And they basically came out of Grand Island, dropped about 40 miles south, and then have made their way straight over towards Nebraska City. And they said that they've been in wind damage and hail all day long. So the hail, like you said, has been pretty isolated. But where the hail has hit this year, it's been very intense. Now, on the Western Tour, we're going to run into some of that tomorrow when we get into Western Iowa. Iowa's got hail damage like the state has never seen before, and we're going to take a close look at that when we get into Western Iowa tomorrow.
What have you been finding gray leaf spot around much?
Yeah, a little bit of gray leaf spot in the irrigated fields in particular. The last dryland field did have some gray leaf spot in it, but it's a kind of an annoyance at this point. I don't think that it's going to be anything that's going to knock a bunch of yield off, not at this point, because like I said, most of this corn is in the early dent, even mid dent. Maybe the most mature field that we saw, they're going to be cutting that field here within 3 weeks. Matter of fact, we saw some guys chopping silage today down in Thayer County. So this crop's moving right along.
Roger, you've been mostly, I think, in the northern part of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. And so I suspect that you have not seen much disease because it's been drier in those areas.
Yeah, that was one thing. As I was listening to Chip talk about the disease issues that they're running into, we have really had a relatively clean set of corn and bean fields as we've moved, across Ohio into Indiana and already now into Illinois. We're just not seeing those insect and disease pressures. You pull up to the field, you look out over it, you're not seeing those spots in the fields that are kind of yellowed out or that are having some disease issues. We're not seeing those insect pressures. Yes, some isolated cases where we may run into a few Japanese beetles congregating. Maybe they were just gathering before they had lunch somewhere else. But, we're not seeing the kind of, pressures that one might associate, usually with what goes on in these fields out here.
Well, we appreciate the two of you being with us today, Roger Bernard and Chip Flory. Thanks so much for being along. And we'll talk with you two again tomorrow right here on the Closing Mark Report. Hey, guys, be safe out there and try to stay dry, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks, Todd.
Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day out of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
A little bit of rain overnight, then skies cleared out, but it doesn't look like we're done with the showers just yet. What do we have on tap?
Well, we aren't. In fact, we're going to see a rather vigorous system move across the northern plains into the Great Lakes, and it's going to drag a cool front across the Midwest and Corn Belt. Really, just about everybody across the Midwest should get wet over the course of the next 4 to 5 days. Showers and thunderstorms will be common, and the air with this system is fairly cool, so we are looking at temperatures slipping a little bit below normal as well.
Well, that sounds like usual for this summer. That'll drop back the growing degree days again, I suppose. For
yeah, it looks like it. Now, we're not expecting extreme coolness, but we're going to average temperatures that will be as much as 1, 2, 3 to 4 degrees below normal as we get ourselves into the end of the week and the weekend. So nothing terribly cold, but certainly enough to go several days to keep down that heat degree unit accumulation quite a bit.
Have you been keeping track of the other places around the world that are in the midst of their growing season, in particular for corn and soybeans in China?
Well, as we go over to there, they've, of course, have had a lot of real stormy weather, especially in the southern and eastern growing areas with the tropical activity. And right now, the forecast is for a pretty active weather pattern all across China. Shower and thunderstorm activity is going to be common, widespread in some areas. So it looks to be wet and temperatures averaging at or maybe slightly below normal in many of those growing areas.
Hey, speaking of temperatures at or slightly below normal, maybe I'd better come back to something you mentioned, because it looks like temperatures in the northern Corn Belt and even where I'm at here in Urbana-Champaign are not going to be particularly warm over the next several days. Highs below 80.
Yeah, and with this system coming on in, it's got a fair amount of cool Canadian air with it. Temperatures are really going to struggle. The only part of the nation that really has a chance of seeing some warmer than normal temperatures will be the Great Basin states, the West Coast, and the Rockies. Now, we do expect that that air that is to our west will move in mid to late next week, and we will see some warmer temperatures. But for this week and into the weekend, it is going to be on the cool side.
That kind of reminds me of our conversation last week when you told me that you were kind of watching what was happening up north and the idea that that might just float down this way. I didn't think I was talking about quite this soon, but that as we got into September, things might be cooler than we were expecting. Are you still looking at some developments in the northern parts of our latitudes that would prompt a colder than usual fall?
Well, we are certainly keeping an eye on that. It seems as though the way the temperatures and the weather pattern is behaving in the northern hemisphere, that the late summer and fall season is off to a little bit of an early start. And with that said, that means there's plenty of cool air up north already, and with those days getting shorter and the nights longer, that cool air has a better chance to build up. So these fronts, as they come on through, even though it's the middle of August, they're acting more like early September.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Don Days with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You've been listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.